Joshua chapter 4, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bare the ark of the covenant, stood, and they were there unto this day. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, we could leave already and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, with this passage of Scripture, Lord, we know that, Lord, that you've got something here for us today, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us just be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll direct us, Lord. I pray that you'll touch these lips of clay. Lord, touch our mind. Help us, Lord, to remember the things that we've studied, the things that you spoke to our heart. Lord, and I pray that your will be done. Lord, I pray if there's one here lost today, Lord, or listening or watching by way of internet, God, I pray that you'll touch their heart, Lord, and that this might be the day, Lord, that they'll come to call upon upon you and trust you as their Savior. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house, be in the upcoming meeting, Lord, the revival, Lord, that we have scheduled, be with Wells as he comes. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts even now. Lord, help us to, as a church body, Lord, that we'll seek you, Lord, for revival. Lord, that we'll look to you, Lord, in these perilous times in which we're living in. Lord, we know that you're able, Lord, to send revival, Lord, and stir our hearts, Lord, in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, you know the burdens of each heart here today. Those that are carrying heavy hearts for loved ones, God, I pray that you'll give them grace, touch their loved ones that are lost. Lord, I pray that we'll see people saved this year, upcoming year. Lord, that we'll see others that will be baptized, Lord, into that watery grave, Lord, and be made a part of the kingdom of God, Lord, through their faith in you, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for the privilege to be here. Help us now for just a little bit and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish here today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach just a little bit, this morning, Lord, be my helper on a lasting memorial, Memorial. Come to chapter 4, we know, and we've been looking at this passage of Scripture for several weeks off and on in the book of Joshua and how the children of Israel had come to the time and place that it was time for them to go to that place of blessing that God had for them, that He had promised them that He was going to carry them to. And we learned how Joshua has taken the leadership. Moses, the servant of the Lord, has died. We know how they sent the spies over to Jericho and to the house of Rahab, how she protected them, and how God was preparing them, getting them ready to go into the land of promise or the land of Canaan, that place of blessing. And I was thinking this morning in 2016 as we've taken the theme of reaching forth, I'd like to think about this morning too, a reaching forth to that place of blessing. This is the place that God wants for all His children. He don't want them wandering around in the Egypt. He don't wilderness. He don't want them living in Egypt, that old life, that old man. But He wants them to enjoy that victorious Christian life that He has. He wants them to be in that land of promise that He told the children of Israel. He wants to give them the blessings of the spiritual life. And we see here in chapter 4, and I was looking at that verse 4, saying it came to pass that when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. You know, that's what God wants for every church. He wants all the people clean passed over Jordan. We know that Jordan is a symbolic of death. Death to the world. Death to the wilderness journey. Also, Jordan is a picture of the judgment there. And we know that they've clean passed over. They're into that. They're going into that place of God's blessing. That's what He wants for us here at Open Door this morning. He wants us to be in that land of blessing. He wants us to reach forth for that place that God has for us in His kingdom work here on the side of Hog Mountain and Capitola Farm Road, where this church has been placed. If this church was placed in the will of God here, and I believe that it was, God burdened someone to establish and put a church here on the side of the road, then we're in God's place of blessing. If He's put you here this morning, we're in that place of blessing. And we ought to reach forth in that place of blessing for the things that God has prepared for us in this upcoming year. And we see the children of Israel as they come to this place a blessing in this time to cross over the Jordan River. We see that there's always many obstacles. There's hindrances to get to that place that God has prepared for us as individual Christians and as a body of Christ in this local independent Baptist church that He's allowed us to be a part of. And there's always obstacles that we're going to run into. Just as the children of Israel, they come to this time and place in their lives, and they come up to the Jordan River, and it's flooded at this point in time. It's not just the river that it normally is, but it's in a time when the river's flooded. It looks like it's the impossibility to get to the other side. But you know, that's the way we do as individuals sometimes in our Christian walk.
with God. We come to that place and it looks like it's just impossible for us to get any further to that place of blessing that God has given for us and promised to us, that victorious Christian life. And that's why so many people wander around in the wilderness. They come to those obstacles that's hindering them from crossing over and getting into that Canaan experience. It might be just personal things that comes our way that we faced with every day as families, as husbands and wives. We know that there's things that we encounter a lot of times that would hinder us from getting to that place of blessing where God wants us to. I honestly believe that God wants us to have revival here at Open Door Baptist Church. I believed when I was at Zion Hill that He wanted us to have revival at Zion Hill. We prayed for revival. We've seen little touches of revival here and there. We see God begin to move, and usually when God begins to move, something would come up and it would hinder God's people from experiencing revival in their personal lives. And then when it hinders in our personal lives, it hinders from having a church-wide revival. I do believe it's possible for us to have a church-wide revival, not just a series of meetings. But I believe it's possible for us to see a move of God here at Open Door Baptist Church. All it's going to take is just one or two people getting to that point and place where they desire revival. That's what happened over in the Welts revival. There was a couple of people got to praying, and they got to seeking God for revival. And God, in His sovereignty, in His omnipotence, you know, and in His omniscience, you know, He's seen those prayers and heard those prayers of those individuals that desired to have revival. He sent a revival over there that touched that little country of Wales back yonder, the Great Awakening there. You know, here in America, you know, we see that God, that someone desired revival. I mean, they desired to see a move of God, and they were prayed and they sought God, and we see that they moved from one place to another. They moved from that place where they was maybe stale and stagnant, and God moved them into that place of blessing. I believe He wants each and every one of us this morning to enjoy that place of blessing. And we see Israel, as they come to this point and place, saying it came to pass. You know, it could come to pass here this week. It could come to pass here next week that we could see revival. It could be time if we would get on God's schedule, if we get on God's time plan, and we get on God's program, that we could go and reach forth into that place of blessing that He's got for us here in Flower Branch, Georgia. I believe He wants churches to seek Him today. He says, "Seek me and you shall find me." And I believe that's what He wants us as His people here at Open Door to do. We might be few in number, but I still believe, hey, that if we could touch God this morning with our prayer, if we could touch God with our desires to see a move of God, I believe we could set up a lasting memorial around here, a memorial that we could look back to and say, well, we've seen God move one time. You know, back in 93, we talk about the revival over there at Harmony Street that we experienced a Sunday night when a man of God come in and he preached, and he was doing the will of God, and he preached, and God began to move in that little congregation there. And you know, and God began to touch people's hearts, and we've seen people begin to get right with God, and we went from one night to another night to another night that turned out to be 6 weeks of meetings, and we've seen a revival that took place. You know, I've got a memorial of that revival in my heart that I can look back to this morning, and I see where God done something in my heart. It might not be a visible memorial to you, but it's sort of like that memorial that was in the river there of Jordan there, where maybe the ripples was coming across that revival over that rock monument that Joshua had set up there in that river. I can look back, Brother Tony, and I can see what God did in my life there that changed my life from that day forward. It's been several years now, but I'm glad that I can look back to that memorial of revival that God sent. I hadn't even thought about that till just then, and God just sort of showed me that I do have a memorial of that revival that God gave me. And I believe that you and I could have that again this morning here at Open Door Baptist Church. Hey, but we're going to have to get to the point that we're willing to junk ourselves. Hey, we're going to have to junk our flesh. We're going to have to look to the one that holds revival. I don't have revival in my pocket. Brother Wells don't have revival in his pocket. Ain't no other preacher that's got revival in their pocket. But I do believe God uses people sometimes. And He brings revival through the preaching, through the voice of revival sometimes that we can see. And if we'll get our hearts where they need to be, we can have that memorial that we can set up where God moves. We get into that. We can reach forth and get into that place of blessing. I believe that's what revival is. It's a place of blessing where God restores life, where He brings back life. He brings us back to that place of being, that victorious Christian life that He wants each and every one of us to have. He don't want us to wander around out in the wilderness. He don't want us to wander around here and there. Hey, but He wants us to get into that place where He desires for us, where He can use us, where we'll empty ourselves of self. Hey, we'll junk our flesh. We'll get away from the peer pressures of this world, of being what the world's expecting us to be. We want to be like the world. We want a touch of revival. We want to see God move. We just don't want to junk ourselves. We're going to have to junk every area of our life if we ever see God move in our lives. I believe that. We're going to have to get away from the fact where we want to please ourselves and we get to the point where we want to please Him with everything that we do. Whether it might be at our working, or it might be at our communication, the things that we listen to, the things that we dabble around in, God wants us to get to that point. He wants us to reach forth to that place of blessing. And they're just like the children of Israel. They're here. They've seen God's hand all through their life. They have eaten the manna that God sent down. They have followed Him through the pillar of fire by night. And there, and they've seen that their clothes hadn't waxed old, their shoes hadn't worn out. God had sent them blessings, but God wanted more for them than that. He had them there for 40 years wandering around in that wilderness, providing for them everything they need. But it comes a point in time that it got time to move on. To move on over Jordan to that place of blessing. A memorial is just serving as a remembrance of anything meant to help people remember a person, event, etc., as a monument or a holiday. Hey, we have a lot of memorials in the world today to remind us of time and event that have taken place in the past. We need to be reminded so we can keep things fresh in our minds so as not to forget important events. We have the Washington Monument that reminds us of a specific things. And then we have Mount Rushmore. We have museums. And here in Joshua chapter 4, we have some memorials that were set up to remind Israel what God had done and could do for them again. It was also to prove to the land and nations what God had and could do for His people. These memorials weren't something that Joshua came up with on his own, but was what God told him to do. We know that God probably told him to set the one up in the middle of Jordan, but it don't record it in the Word of God, but He did tell him to take those 12 stones out of the Jordan and carry them over there to where they were going to camp at Gilgal, which was about the halfway point between the River Jordan and Jericho, the first city that they was going to conquer. And He told them to set up that memorial there that it might remind them where they'd come from and what God had done for them. So we see the command for the memorials there in verses 2 and 3. He said, "Take you 12 men of the people out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." So we see the command for the memorials there in verses 2 and 3. We see the provision for the memorials. It was just plain old stone. Or rocks. He told them, said, "Pick you out 12 men and carry them stones up with you." And He told them, put them up on their shoulders So doing what God tells us to do, and telling Joshua to pick these 12 men, he didn't pick weak men to carry those stones, because they had to carry them 4 or 5 miles on further, and they load them up on their shoulders. Can I say the Christian life is not for the weak? But it takes inner strength. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ working in our hearts to get us to where God wants us to be. Where we can build us a memorial that we can look back to and being obedient to God. We see the command for the memorial. I mean, we don't have to build a rock monument today to have some memorials in our life that we can look back to. I believe Brother Melvin preached on some memorials one night here about his granddad, I believe, some things that he's seen in his life. That was some things that he could look to. You know, there ought to be some things that you and I can look to in our life where God has worked in our life. There's something wrong when we can go through our Christian walk with God and we don't have something, a memorial that we can look back to where God did something for us. We just go nonchalantly on through this walk of life, walking around, wandering around in the wilderness. We're just satisfied with the status quo in our life. Just going to church, sing a few songs. I get a little message from the man of God every Sunday night and Wednesday night. Hey, we ought to have some memorials in our life where we've seen God do something. Can you imagine coming up the Jordan River and it's flooded, it's banked, and Joshua, the man of God that's leading them, said, hey, we're going over. This time tomorrow, we're going to be on the other side. They're probably scratching their chins. How are we going to get over there? There ain't no boats, there ain't no barges, there are no rafts, there's nothing. I mean, this thing is flooded. Joshua, have you not noticed that the River Jordan is flooding its banks at this time of the year? And then these here Bible scholars come up with these things like 15 miles up the river, there's a great landslide and it comes down and blocks. People has a problem with the miraculous working of God. Did you know that? And people has a problem with the miraculous working of the Holy Ghost in their lives today, and they're satisfied just to go through the motions of religion and go to church and just, give their tithes and just pay homage to God once or twice a week and just never get nowhere. That's why we need revival. But the river's flooded. And even if there was a landslide up 15 miles, there's still tributaries that's running in, and there's still mud, muck, and mire. You imagine 2 million people crossing a river in the same path with their cattle and everything that's going over. Could you imagine what a mess? You get on a muddy road in your truck, and you go through it one or two times, and it gets worse. And it gets worse. Could you imagine 2 million people with cattle and all their cattle and livestock going across that river? No, friend, I believe they went across on dry ground. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. I don't think He wants us to go through the muck and the mire. I believe He can carry us from this place in our Christian walk. I believe He can, if we'll reach forward to that place of blessing, I believe that He can carry us into that place of blessing on dry ground. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Just as sure as He parted the Jordan River, and just as sure as He parted the Red Sea, and He told Joshua, said, set up a memorial over at Gilgal and set up a memorial in the middle of that river. He said, you take 12 men, hey, that's able to throw those stones on their shoulders. You know, He's looking for some people today that can pick up the load and carry it on.
Amen.
I hadn't thought about some of these things. That's good. You know, He's looking for some folks today. He's looking for a few good men. And women. And boys and girls.
Right.
Someone that can bear the load. It's a heavy load sometimes. That we have to carry. But it's not an impossible load.
Right.
He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. He can help us.
Yes.
With the things that are problems to us. Everybody's got hindrances in their lives that's keeping them from going over into Canaan. You've got something that you're hanging on to. Hey, some worldly things that you don't want to turn loose of. And that's why you're not in Canaan. That's why you ain't going to never get to Canaan. God expects some things out of us. To get from this point to that point is effort. Sometimes. Salvation's free. It's a free gift of God. But to get into that place of blessing, they had to be obedient to what God said. Now, they could have refused to move and to follow Joshua, and they could have stayed over there in where they wasn't supposed to be. The only ones that had the right to stay on that side of the Jordan River was those 2.5 tribes. The Gadites, Manasseh, the half tribe of what was it? Which half tribe of Manasseh, the Gadites, and the what's the other one? Anyway, there was 2.5 tribes that wanted their inheritance over there. They seen that there was cattle over there. They were the borderline dwellers. They seen they was in a place where there was grass for cattle, and they wanted who? Reubenites, that's right. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. That was the 2.5 tribes that only had the right, and they had to go forward, and there was about 40,000 of them. If you read on down in the text there, there was 40,000 of them that went over before them, and they were the ones that was chosen to go before into the land of Canaan there because their families, their cattle was still on the other side. But most of those children of Israel was having to go across. So we see the command for the memorials. God wanted them to set some memorials up, and He gave them the instructions of how to do it there. We see the provisions for the memorial. There was the rocks and the stones. We see the purpose for the memorials. It was a reminder of what God had done and could do. First, it was as a sign to Israel. It was a message for their hearts by their eyes rather than ears. It was an enduring sermon in stone. It spoke of the goodness and power of God exercised on their behalf at the Jordan. Second, as a memorial that Israel had passed through the river of death, that they were now typically on resurrection ground, that judgment lay behind them, and Israel upon the Canaan side of Jordan adumbrated that the blessed truth expressed by our Redeemer in John chapter 5, verse 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That cairn of stones was to signify that Israel had not crossed the Jordan by their own ability, but because of the miracle working power of God. It was a representation unto them that they had passed through the river's dry shod. More especially, it was an earnest and pledge of what God would yet do for them. That was Arthur Pink, by the way. We give credit where credit's due. But, you know, It was a picture of death and a picture of judgment that they were headed and they were coming out on resurrection ground. That's sort of typically of what the cross stands for, the death of Christ, that He died for you and I. I run up on this guy. I mentioned it a little bit Wednesday night. This guy that's teaching that everybody's saved. You just have to have faith and find that out, something to that effect. What does he do with John, chapter 5, that verse that I just read? Everyone that believeth on him. Everyone is responsible. Jesus died for the whole world. His blood is the sacrifice for the sins of the world. But only those that will appropriate that blood, only those that will take their place as a sinner and accept His death for their death, only those that will believe that Jesus did die, was buried and resurrected again the third day can have eternal life. That's what that Bible teaches. I don't care if you if you teach it, compare Scripture to Scripture, or if you go down contextually, verse by verse, and look into those verses, you've got to come to the conclusion, hey, that we all must accept Jesus as our Savior and accept His death for our death. We identify with Him. We die. That's what a picture of Jordan is. And then getting Canaan land, that's a picture of resurrection life. That's what the ordinance of baptism represents. We're buried in Him in His death and risen to walk in newness of life. When they went through the Jordan River, they had to die to the wilderness journey. And when they got on the other side, they was on resurrection ground. And then when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's what it's a picture of there. We're looking back at the death of Jesus. Paul said, as oft as you take us, do it in remembrance of me. We're not only looking back at His death. He said, do it until I come. We're looking forward to His resurrection.
Amen.
That's what that's all a picture of. The pictures in the Old Testament picture Jesus and what He's done for us. A lasting memorial. We need some lasting memorials in our lives. So we see the purpose of the memorials was to remember. We need to remember what God's done for us. Remember that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. Remember the great price that God gave as He gave up His Son. Israel was to remember what God had done for them back in Egypt when they applied the blood of the Passover lamb to the lintel and the doorpost. He brought them out. They all come out the same way, by the way. Did you know that? All of them that was behind that blood came out the same way. They did it by faith. Bible said there was a mixed multitude. There were some of those people that come out with Israel. Korah and that bunch, you know, I've said this before, and you'll get in trouble with some brethren saying this, but Korah and that bunch, they rebelled and they rose up on murmured against Moses. What happened? The earth swallowed them up. People say they went to hell with their shoes on. Well, they came out under the blood too. They were backslidden, what it was, and the judgment of God fell on them. I don't believe they were lost. I believe they all come out under the blood. It was by faith. They were saved the same way we are. They were saved by doing what God told them to do. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I think he got saved over in about 15th chapter of Genesis, I believe, where Abraham got saved. Where it said he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He wasn't looking forward really to the cross. He was just doing what God told him to do. They didn't see the cross. But they offered those sacrifices because that's what God told them to do, and they did it by faith. I believe I'm right. But to get from the wilderness to get to Canaan, there has to be death. The Jordan was symbolic. The Jordan was between them and Canaan. That's what's between you and I and Canaan this morning is dying. Dying to ourselves. Dying to this world. Dying to popularity. Dying to peer pressure. The world wants you to conform to the world. They want you to look like the world. They want you to act like the world. They want you to be like the world because light exposes darkness. That's why they're critical.
Amen.
Of God's people. Get out of the wilderness, from Egypt to the wilderness, to Canaan. It takes dying. If we ever experience revival, we can enjoy that Canaan land experience. We're going to have to die to ourselves. We're going to have to die to the fads of this world. We're going to have to die to the peer pressures of this world. We're going to have to die to self.
Amen.
there's going to have to be some mortification going on. Mortifying of the deeds of the flesh. Crucify. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, His death was my death. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We'll never get to that point where we can live the Christian life on our own. We're going to have to die. But the problem is, the reason we're not experiencing Canaan land in our churches, we're not reaching forth to it. We're not willing to die to ourselves. Nothing wrong with enjoying life. Don't say I'm preaching that y'all just be gloom and doom and not enjoy life. I believe we ought to enjoy life. I believe God wants us to enjoy life. I believe He wants us to enjoy coming to church. I believe He wants us to enjoy that Canaan land experience. That victorious Christian life. There's battles to be fought. When they got to Canaan, there was battles to be fought. First thing they did was they encountered Jericho. How did they face Jericho? They faced him like God told them to. They walked around that thing every day. Just like God told them to. And the last time they walked around, I think they walked around 7 times, was it? And then they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down flat. They walked 7 days, 6 days, 7 days. Anyway, they walked around a lot. Every day, one time. They'd walk around and then they'd go back to camp. I told Debbie come down the road, Israel, they were campers. God must not have no problem with us being campers, you know. As long as we don't do it on the Lord's Day. You know, some of these people, they go to campground every weekend and they don't never go to church. I don't think God's pleased with that. But every once in a while, I think it's okay to go camping. You know, Israelites, they lived for 40 years in camp. They pitched their tents. They pitched them orderly. Could you imagine living in a tent for 40 years? You wouldn't have to worry about no shoes. Because the ones you wore was the ones you wore every day. You didn't have to pick none out. Amen. Your clothes were the same one. You didn't have to put on nothing that was going to appeal to someone else.
Right.
Everybody wore the same thing.
Right.
Uniforms. Let me move on. I'm going to give you these real quick and then we'll go to the house. The command for the memorials, the cooperation in the memorials, there in verse 3, the people that was involved in verse 2, the Bible says, take you 12 men out of the people out of every tribe of man. Well, one person out of every tribe, that was all-inclusive, that was a representative from each tribe, everyone was involved in setting up the memorials. 12 of them. They were the representative. God wants us to all be involved in setting up some memorials, I think, that we can look back to. And those 12 men, I believe they were representative of every tribe. All 12 tribes was involved. So we see the people that was involved. We see the places that was involved. There was two places that was involved. One was the Jordan River. We know that God told Joshua to set those, take those stones and set up that memorial there in Gilgal. He didn't mention the one setting up in the Jordan River, but evidently God had told him that. Told him to set that memorial up in the Jordan. I don't think Joshua just done it on his own. He said, take 12 stones out of the River Jordan, carry them over to, when you go to camp, put them on your shoulders, carry them over to Gilgal and set up a memorial over there. And they said that was, it's called a kern or a monument. They probably stacked them on top of each other. They probably had them together. And then Joshua told them to set that one up in the middle of the river. The water's going to cover over it. But we see they were all involved. There was 12 representatives, one from each tribe. They put that memorial there. And when the waters flowed back over, it covered that up. Have you ever seen rocks in a river, though? You seen rocks in a river, how the water, you can see a ripple there, but you can't see no rock, really. That's what that memorial was. I believe that was the place that was the picture of the memorial of God's presence, that when that ark was symbolic of the presence of God, and when those priests carried that ark in there, they stood there all day long while the children of Israel passed over on dry ground. They stood there. They had to be strong too, probably. They held that ark, just like God told them to. And so Joshua told them to put 12 stones there. Build a memorial there. So when the waters went back over that, they could not only see the one that was visible to their sight over in Gilgal where he brought them to. And Gilgal, if you go to study in Gilgal, it was a very special place. It was a holy place. A lot of holy things happened there. And anyway, they could look at that ripple in the water, and no doubt some of those kids would say, "What is that ripple out there in the Jordan River?" Well, that's where God's presence was. That's where the priest stood while we passed over. And we went on dry ground over into the land of Canaan where God had promised us to go. And then they could look at the memorial while they was camped there in Gilgal, and they could see that memorial. It was before them. And that memorial pointed out and showed them what God had done for them in bringing them to that point and place, all the miracles that He had performed. So we see the cooperation in the memorial. God wants us all to be involved in the things that's going around Open Door Baptist Church. I mentioned the other day, you know, us maybe building us a memorial out here. And there wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. For our debt. When we get that thing, when we pay some on that debt, put us a big old rock out there. If we pay $10,000, don't put us a rock out there. And then if you got $100 you want to give, bring you a rock and put it out there. We'll keep them things put together. Maybe one day we'll have us a memorial this high. And we'll just, when we get that note paid off, we'll carry it out there and we'll burn that thing. And we'll put a plaque on it. This memorial is symbolic of the debt paid in such and such time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Our kids could go look at that and they could see that and they say, "Daddy, what does that mean?" Well, that's a memorial we put up out there when we got the debt paid. There, Open Door. We had a note. We paid that debt off and we built a memorial out there so it would be a reminder of what God can do. See, some people think you can't pay off a debt like that, just boom. But I'm of the persuasion that God has got it and God can do it. Reason we don't see God do nothing in our lives a lot of times is because we don't believe He can. Reason we don't have revival in our churches today, we don't believe we can have it. We believe He can do it, but we don't believe He will do it. And the same God that can, He will. If we get to that point and place in our life, that debt can be paid off. You say, "You're always talking about that debt." Well, I'm just trying to give you a vision of something, you know? We've got empty pews here. They need people in them. You know, the best way to fill these pews up is to get people saved. Amen. Be a soul winner. If we get into Canaan land, if we get to that place of blessing where God wants us to be, I tell you what, we won't have to harp and preach about being soul winners. We'll just automatically we'll get to that point where we're winning souls. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." You go to getting people that you come into contact with and witnessing to them and seeing a person get saved here, you might have to witness to 20 to get one. He didn't say everybody's going to get saved that you witness to, but He said He would save some. And that's what He wants us to be. And if we're going to get into that, we're going to reach forth to that place of blessing, I believe we'll see debt paid off. I believe we'll see souls saved. I believe we'll see people added to the church daily. We've done had some that the Lord's led over here, and they're expecting God to do something. We want to get involved. We want cooperation. We want everyone to be involved. And I believe we can see God do something great at Open Door Baptist Church. I'd love to see revival. I'd love to see a revival that would break people's hearts for sinners, that would break people's heart over the sin that's in their life. We're not broken about sin in our life. We've got to the point in time we've let the standard down so much in our day that most people don't know what sin is. They think because everybody else is doing it, it's okay. They think the lottery is okay to play because everybody else is playing. And they get all excited about whatever this they was talking about this morning about the Powerball or whatever that is, where the one something point million or something or billion. Billion. And people spending their paycheck when they could put it in the house of God somewhere. Laying up treasures here. They think, well, I'm going to win. You know how many of them lottery tickets I bought in my life? I ain't never won because I ain't never played. So I don't have to worry about whether to tithe on it or not. Because I ain't played. And I ain't going to play. I don't care if it is going to the Hope Scholarship. We try to justify things because of the good that they might be doing when God's able to do good without doing evil. That's why our country and our nation and our states are so fouled up, because we're trying to do wicked to do good. A lot of people suffering today. A lot of little kids because their mom and dad trying to win the lottery. God help them. And people in church, sitting on church pews, hey, they'll rob God of tithes and offering and go out and buy a stinking lottery ticket. Thank you. That was free. I've always been... People's always said something about it. Because the lottery just always comes up, you know. One lady, she remembered my preaching because I preached on the lottery one day. Well, praise God, something I said helped her to remember what I preached. If that's all she got, maybe it helped her. I'm not saying that's all she got, but I'm saying she remembered me preaching on that. That was the only thing she mentioned that I preached on. It just come up. I preach on drinking. I preach on smoking. I preach on cussing. I preach on immodest dress. I used to hammer on it a lot more than I do now. God help me a little bit. I could get in the flesh real quick.
Right.
Probably. If the Lord leads me to do it, then you better not get mad at me. If I do it in the flesh and I'm just picking on somebody, then that's a different story. We need some memorials. I read so much stuff about these memorials and it was all good. So we see the cause. Not only the cooperation in the memorials, the command for the memorial, but we see the cause for the memorials, and I done covered that. Verses 19 through 20 said the proof to the people. It was to Israel, first of all, what God had done. And then it was to the nations of what God had done. They knew already. Rahab, when they went over to her house, said, the fear of the Lord's already in this place. I mean, they had done heard what God, the miracles that God had done. They're bringing them to the point and place where they were at, and them people was terrified because they knew God had already. So the cause for the miracles was the proof to the people, to Israel, to the nations that was around them, and then that God is faithful. Can I say God's still faithful today?
Amen.
Even in 2016, we sometimes think that God's not paying attention, but He is. I'm going to tell you, there's several times in the Word of God where they were doing something that got God's attention. He came down to see what was going on. They built that Tower of Babel, and the Bible said God went down to see what was going on. I can't help but to believe there's some things going on today that God's not coming down to see what's going on. He knows what's going on. That God's faithful. That God is to be feared. There's no fear of God in this land today. You see our political leaders that's embracing the things and they're trying to push on the will of the people. Individuals that's got enough power to overrule the will of the people today. There's no fear of God in them. Judges. I don't know how they got so much power. There's no fear of God in our president. That God's faithful. That God is to be feared. That God is not forgotten. He's not forgotten us. No. He's still on the throne this morning. He's still looking down. We need some memorials in our lives today. Not so much more as memorials of stone, but some memorials in our hearts of what God has wrought in our lives. We need, first of all, a memorial of salvation. There needs to be a place. Every individual, there needs to be a place that you can go back to without a shadow of a doubt that you've got a memorial of salvation where God saved your soul, where He convicted your heart. He showed you that you were a hell-deserving, lost sinner, and you took your place as a sinner, and you called on Jesus, and you asked Him to come into your heart. Hey, we need a memorial of our salvation. We need a memorial of sanctification where God started that daily process in our life. I don't believe you can be saved and God not do something and begin working sanctification in your life. I believe in immediate sanctification. When we got saved, that God immediately set us apart for His service, for His will. But I believe there's that daily process of sanctification where God began to work in your life, in my life, where He began to chop off the corners. We need a memorial of our sanctification. We need a memorial of our separation. Where we come out among the world. Where God dealt with us. Where He began to convict us about some sin, about our life, and about the things that we're doing. He said, if you want me to receive you, come out from among them. We need a memorial of salvation, of sanctification, of separation. Then we need... This one we really need. We need a memorial of saturation. Where the Holy Ghost has just saturated our lives. Where we got filled with the Holy Ghost. Where we place that we can go back to. Where we know that initial feeling where we got junked ourselves and the Holy Ghost come into our heart and filled us. We got saturated with Him. When did you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled? Have you been saved? Are you 100% sure, without a shadow of a doubt? Do you have a memorial of salvation, a place that you can go back to where you call on Jesus? And then do you have a memorial of saturation where the Holy Ghost filled you? Just as those that the children of Israel had that they could look back to, maybe some of them little kids may run down the river one day and with Daddy. Maybe he went down there with them fish or something. I don't know. And they said, Dad, what's that ripple out there? Oh, that's where the priest stood. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where God separated the waters. And we come over out of the wilderness into Canaan land on dry ground. No doubt. Many a question was asked in the camp there at Gilgal. What's that rock monument? Well, that's just a memorial of how God brought us here. How God promised us that He would conquer our enemies as we come into the land of Canaan. I'm glad God can take care of our enemies today. We don't have to worry about them if we just get that point in place. We need some memorials in our life, some lasting memorials. Not some that we'd forget about. There's a lot of people that's had some memorials and they forgot about them. God help us to have some lasting memorials in our life. Let's all stand. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to pray. This altar's open. Hey, if you're here this morning...